we've spoken a little bit about the mitzvah in general of avodas ha-karbanos, and we spoke also two shiurim on hafrashas or hakdashas ha-karban, one on whether or not machshava is enough to make an animal into a karban, or whether you require dibor, mirasla gavoa. That's one discussion. The other discussion was whether the hakdashas ha-karban is merely a prerequisite, or whether you already begin to get some kapara once you already are matkis hakarban, and why that may be. We're talking today about shchitas hakarban. We're talking today about when a carbon finally comes, you're going to shecht it. A couple of things by way of introduction as far as what we're going to be doing. Number one, shchita only takes place with animal karbanos. There's no din of shchita when it comes to a carbon mincha. Carbon mincha is a flower offering. We're talking about tzvachim, animal sacrifice, when we're talking about shchita. Number two, we're going to elaborate much more on this, Be'ezrat Hashem and Bli Neder, next week. But shchita is a little bit of a complicated kind of a thing. On the one hand, the Gemara in Tzvachim and Daf Chav Tes implies that shchita is in the category of what you would call an avoda. That there are four avodas, primary avodas with karbanos: the shchita, tzvachim chavtes, the shchita, the shechting, the kabbalah, the catching of the blood, the holacha, the walking of the blood over, and then the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood. So it seems like shchita, in many ways, is an avoda. That's how Chazal in certain places speak about it. Yet, the Gemara tells us in tzvachim on daf yudalid amud beis that shchita is not an avoda, and therefore, even though you require a kohen to catch the blood, kabbalah, to walk it over, and zrika, be kabbalah ve'elah, you require kohanim, shchita could be done by a non-kohen. Shchita could be done by a non-kohen, which means that shchita is going to be a little bit hard to define. What does it mean? Shchita is an avoda, al-pidin lefida halacha, shchita is not an avoda. We'll speak much more about that next week, but it's important to know already now that shchita is a little bit hard to pin down. What we want to try to do tonight primarily is to do two things. Number one, what's the goal of shchita? What's the goal of shechting a karban? What are we trying to do with that? And then we'll speak a little bit about a machlokas, about the nature of the knife that you use when you shecht kachim, and what that tells us about the status of shchitas kachim in general. So let me begin in the following way. We're either going to have 2 or 3 weeks on shchita. Well, we'll see how things go. But the first is as follows. On the one hand, lichora, part of the reason why you shecht an animal is very similar to why you shecht an animal for shchitas chulin. There's a lot of discussion, machloksim in Rishonim, about the relationship between shchita of a regular animal to eat and shchita of a karban. But at least for all the karbanos where people eat the karbanos, one of the goals of shchita is so that the animal can have kosher meat from the animal. So if a kohen is going to be eating part of a karban chatas, a kohen is going to be eating part of a karban asham, the Gemara even tells them, psachim, andaf nuntes amid beis, that kohanim ochlim ubalim mischaprim, that the kapara for a karban, or at least part of the kapara you get, is only when the kohen comes along and the kohen eats the karban. So one of the goals of shchita is to make sure that the food is kosher, no different than you have in any other sort of shchita when it comes to any meat that a person is going to eat. Yet it does seem that there is additional functions to shchitas ha karbanos, two additional goals. One goal is as follows. This is going to be a very important point as far as avoda goes. When you have the animal originally, the animal is kadosh. When you bring the animal to the Beis HaMikdash and you start doing avodas, there are really two different elements or two different tracks that split once you shech the animal. On the one hand, when you shech the animal, one track has to do with most of the basar of the behemoth. What are you going to do with the meat? Some of the meat you offer on the Mizbeach, for carbon ola you offer maybe all of it on the Mizbeach. Some of it gets eaten by certain people, by kohanim and kachim, by other karbanos, potentially. Other people are going to either be part of the process or eating the karban. That is the meat. there's something else going on with the carbon, which is not focused on the meat, but it's rather focused on the blood. All of the things we spoke about before, the Kabbalah catching the blood, the halacha and the zrika is all blood focused. And much as we quoted the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Nun Tes, that the kapara comes from the achila of the kohanim. The Gemara in Tzvachim and Daf Vav says the kapara comes in kapara ella bidam. That when you sprinkle the blood, that's when the kapara really comes. So what is it? Is it really zrika or is it really achila? That's a kasha which Tosfos asks and the Mikdash David talks about, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll speak about that in about 4 months from, that's a good question, in a bit of time from now. Now, says Rashi in a bunch of places, Rashi in Chulin and Daf Chavtes Amid Aleph is the most explicit, but it's in Zvachim and Yugimel also, but Rashi and Chavtes Amid Aleph in Chulin says, why am I shechting a carbon? That maybe in addition to shechting it so that the it's going to be kosher, I have to shecht it because that's the way that I get the blood out. And the blood is a primary focus of what we're doing in the Avodah HaKarbon. It's one of the tracks. It's a Kabbalah Holacha into Zrika track. So you're doing it in order to be able to get the blood out. The Haina Rashi in Zvachim and Daf Yigimel, Kishashokhet Shemotzi Dam, Tuchelet Gavoa Minabasar. So one reason we shat this so the animal can be kosher to eat it. Second reason we shat this to be Motzi the Dam. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudalet Amid Beis tells us a third reason why we shat the animal, or at least a third function of Shchita, being accomplished by Shchita. And that is the following. We know that we are machdish the animal already pretty early on. That's the hadash hakarban that we spoke about. The animal already has kedusha, but even the animal has kedusha. There are. It doesn't mean that all parts of the animal have enough kedusha for all of the things that we want to do with those parts of the animal. So says the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yud Dalin that one of the things that the purpose of shchit is dam. The Kadishte Sakin Bitsavar Behema. That the Dam has to have a certain level of Kedusha. Sounds like Binosaf, in addition to the Kedusha it has already as a Kadosh when in your Makdash it. And when you shech the animal, so you are able to give over, that's one of the ways that you are Makdash the Dam. You're sanctifying the Dam in a much more intense way. Now, you're also potentially able to makdash it if you would have, let's say, Kabbalah's Hadam. That may also be makdash. We'll speak about it in a little bit. But Shchita also is makdash Hadam. So, we saw as follows. Shchita, we're talking obviously only about animal sacrifices. Shchita's status as a regular avoda, a non-Kohen can do Shchita, implied it's not really an avoda. But also, there are other indications. We got next week that Shchita really is an avoda, discussed in the concept of Pigol and Kavanah Shel Lishma. We spoke thus far about three main goals of Shchita. Number one, to make sure that it can be eaten by Kohanim. That's especially important in carbonos that are consumed by people, as opposed to the carbon ola. It also has a function that it's, Rashi writes, to get the dam out. And the third is actually also makdish. The dam makes the dam officially kadosh for us to then use it and sprinkle it on top of the mizbeach. Those are the... That's really what I would call like an elongated introduction to this topic. Let's go very, very briefly to timing. Yeah. Well, if he said Mekadesh, then that would definitely be a good giveaway. I think the absence of that, he doesn't say that. Yeah. You need blood to sprinkle it. This is like way too much time in Rina. Okay, let's try and talk about the following. There, we're going to speak about a very famous sugya. The sugya which comes up in Zvachim and Daf Mem Zayin. It relates to Sota and Daf Yudalit. It relates to Chulin and Daf Gimel. There are many, many Gemaras that are relevant to this particular discussion. We're going to try to give a little bit of background. we'll try to summarize three main shitas in Rishonim, and we'll speak about what those Rishonim on some level argue about in ways that can be, in ways that can be helpful. So let's begin as follows. The knife that you use, so what qualifies as a kosher knife for shita? One question would be, does the knife have to have the halachic status of a kli? That's one question which Chazal seemed to relate to. Certainly not all items have a status of a kli. Does the knife have to have the status of a kli? That relates to a sugyan chulun on daf gimel, what are the materials that you could use in order to be considered a kosher shechita? That's not our primary issue. Our primary issue is as follows. There is something called, in the Beis HaMikdash, a kli sharis. A kli sharis, many avodas, when you perform those particular avodas, so they have to be performed with utensils that have the unique status of being a kli sharis. A kli sharis attained its status either by Shemen HaMishcha, you put certain holy anointing oil on it, or in the absence of that, Avodah Sanhim Mechan Chasan, that sometimes through just doing the Avodah, that can instill it, when you do the Avodah, that makes it Kadosh. Why do you need something to be Kli Sharis? Why is it important? What's the goal of having Avodah done with Kli Sharis? So there's really two ways that Achronim speak about it. Achronim speak about two goals or two functions of a Kli Sharis. The first goal of Kli Sharis is that it's a halacha that avodas can only be done with certain utensils that are sufficiently chashuv. It's like you can't have a very, very fancy dinner and be eating all on plastic. It's a certain, I mean, maybe I'm not judging anyone's home or what they do. We use plastic a lot in my home. Environment notwithstanding, but there is something about certain chashuv events require what's called a kli sharis. Kli sharis does something else also. Kli sharis also has the ability to be makdish, to be mekadesh, that which is within it. It has the ability to sanctify other things, to instill it with an element of kedusha. That the Gemara in Sotam Daf Yudal even says, the Hadar Makdish Lay, but Kli Sharis. Kli Sharis can be Makdish things. Here's our question. Let's assume for a moment that Shechita does require a Kli. Discuss with me, Akeda. Let's assume that Shechita requires a Kli. When you shecht an animal, does it require Kli Sharis? Does it require a Kli that is extra Kadosh, what's called a Kli Sharis? Again, Shemen HaMish, a certain higher level kind of a kli, or not. There seem to be three shitos in Rishonim, three main shitos in Rishonim. Tosfos in a bunch of places quotes these shitas. Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that shchita that you do not, Tosfos quotes in Chulin Daf Gimel, it's Vakim Adaf Memzayin, Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that shchita's kachim does not require kli sharis. You don't require kli sharis at all. Rabbeinu Ephraim even brought a raya from a Mishnah we say every morning in davening in Karbanos. Kachim kachim shchitasan bitzafon, v'kibol daman v'kli sharis bitzafon. Shchitasan is bitzafon. Kabbalah is bikli sharis bitzafon. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim. Sounds like Kabbalah's Hadam requires kli sharis. But Shchita doesn't say it requires kli sharis. Just says shchitasan bitzafon. Kibol daman bikli sharis bitzafon. Rabbeinu Ephraim says the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that Shchita's kachim does not require kli sharis at all. Alternatively, Tosfos quotes another daya. Tosfos says, maybe not. Maybe you don't require kli sharis at all. Maybe you don't require kli sharis at all. Sorry. Maybe you do require kli sharis. You require, why would I think that you really do require kli sharis? So some Rishonim say, because of the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudal that we quoted. What is one of the goals of Shechita? To be makdish the dam. That part of the goal of Shechita is to be makdish, to sanctify the dam. Well, how am I going to sanctify the dam? If I understand that I'm shechting the animal with a kli sharis, so we know that a kli sharis has the ability to sanctify whatever it is, whatever it's engaged with. So that I understand. But if you understand that you don't require klisharis, so how is it when you do shkita, you're sanctifying the blood? How is it when you do shkita, you're sanctifying anything? So Tova says, machlokes harishon, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, you can shech, but it does not require a klisharis. We do like the Mishnah in Tzvachim. The Tosfos quotes another day that in fact you do require klisharis because the Gemara tells us in Sota, after all, that you can be makdish the dam, your makdish dam shkita. Klisharis presumably is how you do that. Both of these rayas are not mukrach. Both of these rayas, the other way sort of explain as an example, the Brisker Rav, Achman, Brisker Rav writes in Sota that maybe even if you don't require a klisharis, maybe what's makdish the dam is not the satin being a klisharis, but the maisa shita itself. When you shecht it, that's what instilled an extra level of kedusha. I believe Rav Lichtenstein, Court of Salvation, thought maybe similarly. But that's the first two shitas that we have in Rishonim. The third shita is the Ramban in Chulin on Daf Gimel, as well as the Rambam shita in Hilchos Maisa HaKarbanos Perek Dalet Halacha Zayin. Says the Rambam, we'll read the Rambam as follows: Kol hazvachim ein shochan osan lechatila el v'sakin v'kli shareis. But im shachat with something else, Sharon says the Rambam as follows: lechatila, you have to use a kli shareis. But b'di'eved, it's okay without. Those are our three shitas we've shown him. Some that think you require kli shareis. Some that think you don't require kli shareis. And some that think that it's somewhere you require it lekatfila, but not b'di'evet, So let's try and just say out a little bit of almost like basic lumdis here. This is a very large sugya. We're going to introduce some ideas, which we'll suggest, and then we'll really focus on a couple of mahalchim for the Rambam and the Ramban, why there be a split. But as follows. One way of looking at this machlokas, does shkita require klisharis, is to view it in the following way. We referenced earlier that there is a machlokas harishonim, how connected is regular shkita, shkita's kulin, shutting a cow for you want to eat it, and shkita's kachim, how connected are they? How much halachic overlap do they have? So we'll speak about that a little bit more next week and maybe afterwards. But one way of saying it, the way some we showed him sort of frame it a bit, is if you understand that Shita's Kulin and Shita's Kachim are very, very similar, so it's obvious that regular Shita's Kulin doesn't require a knife, which is a klisharis, so maybe Shita's Kachim also doesn't require a knife, which is a klisharis. The more that you understand that Shita's Kachim is fundamentally different than regular Shita, it has a lot of different halachas, so we wouldn't be surprised if it has an additional different halacha called, it requires a klisharis, it requires a bit of a holier, fancier kind of a knife. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at the machlokas harishonim, and this seems to be that some of the rishonim say this almost explicitly, is how much do I relate to shkita as really being in avoda? Again, we'll be asked more next week. But if I relate to Shita as really being like an avoda, so avodas typically require it to be done with a klisharis. So I would say you require a klisharis. If, however, I understand like the simple pshat of the Gemara in Tzvachim and Daf Yadalet, that Shita is not really an avoda, so avodas require a klisharis. Shita doesn't require a klisharis. It's not really considered to be an avoda. So one mahalach is, how different is it from regular shkita? Regular shkita doesn't, what does this require? The second way of saying it, which some of the Rishonim seem to really say, is it really an avoda, does it not really an avoda? But what's most intriguing is the Rambam and the Ramban, because mimanafsha. If I understand that shkita is not really an avoda, and if I understand that it's really much more similar to shkita's chulin, maybe why it's not an avoda, so don't require klisharis at all. Don't require it at all. Like the simple pshat in the Mishnah of Ephraim pointed out. And if you understand that it really is an avoda, and shchitas kachim is really very different than shchitas kulin, then I would say require klisharis. Avodas always require klisharis. But why would there be a split between lecharchila and bidiyavet? Why would there be a split between what you need lecharchila and bidiyavet? Mimanavshach. Either you require a klisharis or you don't require a klisharis. Clarity as a whole thus far. One, two, and. So there's one way to go, which is not going to be as fancy from a lumdus perspective, but it's an interesting shot. The Rosh Yosef, I believe the Prima Gadim in his commentary on Maseches Chulin, Daf Tzayin, as well as the Aruch HaShulchan, in the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, they have one suggestion. I'll say it very quickly in brackets. There is a principle called Shana Levakasav La'akev. Tosfos writes in Tzvachim and Dabdalot, you read Halacha and Kachim. Normally, if the Torah says something is required, that means it's required. And if you don't have it, ball game over. Tosfos writes in Tzvachim that specifically in regards to Kachim, if something is supposed to be really ma'akev, you really require it, it has to be taught twice. If it's only taught once, it's a din lechatzilah. But to really be taught twice, it has to be, really, sorry, to really be ma'aki, to really be critical, necessary, has to be taught twice. Shana levad kasav la'aki. That is Tosfos in Maseches Tzvachim. The Stipler quotes from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish argued with that klal, so it applied in more places. One day maybe we'll talk about it, or Moshe Shapira might say about this. But that's Tosfos in Tzvachim there. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rosh HaYosef suggest that the Rambam learned that there may be a mucker, it's based on a Tosefta in the beginning of Menachos, there may be one mucker that Shtita requires Kisharis. But in the world of Kachin, one mucker just isn't good enough. One mucker only teaches me you require it L'chatzilah. But there aren't really two. Says the Aruch HaShulchan v'yishlomar v'tamo mishum d'bekachim v'inan t'lo v'kasav l'akev. You require it to be taught twice. You only have it once, l'chatzilah. So they suggest more on a limud level. The Rambam says only one limud, and therefore you require l'chatzilah, but not to be avet. But there is a bit of a fancier pshat to explain the Rambam. This is a pshat which in many ways the Ramban and Chulin says a lot of the lumdus here. A lot of lumdus is in the Ramban and Chulin. Lichtenstein in the Shirim and Tzvachim elaborated and developed it more as the variety, I believe, of other Achronim. And we'll say it out in the following way. It gets to the core of what Shechita is about and the core of why when you do an Avoda, you require Klisharis. We pointed out that there may be two reasons why you would require Klisharis. One of them is because when you're doing something very chashuv, like an avoda, it makes sense that you do it with extra holy special utensils. It makes sense that you do it in a very holy kind of a way, with a klisharis, because the avoda itself is so prominent, requires prominent utensils. It's also possible, that when you do avoda, that klisharis serves what you call more of a functional purpose. It isn't only that it's chashuv, but sometimes you require the klisharis to sanctify something. Anything that interacts with the klisharis, he becomes kadosh. So you require klisharis sometimes to be makadish, to be matish something. Say the Achron the following. If my whole shtita requires klisharis, so maybe the Ramban and the Rambam learned as follows. Again, this is Ebenai Ezra language, and it's a very, I think, tight kind of a Torah, and I think it works out well. Maybe as follows, say the Achronim, but again, it's pretty Beduik in the Rambam himself. In general, there are two reasons why you require Kisharis. The Avoda is Chashav, requires Kisharis, and to be Makdeh something. Say the Rambam and the Ramban, Shkita is not an Avoda. So as far as reason number one, you don't require a klisharis for shchita on avoda, meaning the same way a non-kohen can do shchita. So if a non-kohen can do shchita, so then presumably also
you wouldn't require a kisharis. It isn't that prominent of an avoda. Spilling, sprinkling the blood, that's a chash of avoda. But catching it is not considered to be a chash. So why would I require a kisharis? I would require a kisharis because I need to sanctify the dam. To sanctify the dam, I need to do so. So says the Ramban as follows. Look at how the Ramban says it. Verse number 7 on the sheet. Elahainu taima. Why is la'afila? Mishum desakin l'may asya. Why do I require it all? L'kache l'dam b'tzavar behema. The reason why I would require it is to sanctify the blood in the neck. But the l'afila, for sure you should do it. But what happens if you missed out? You are supposed to sanctify the blood through shvita. So l'chachila, you have to use klisharis. What happens if you didn't use klisharis? What happens if you didn't? Says the Ramban, v'kevan dehadr mekadeshla v'klisharis v'kavala v'diabed laslamba. Says the Ramban, if you didn't do it with the shvita, well, we're still going to catch the blood, kavala, in a klisharis. So the blood will become kadosh anyway. The blood will become kadosh anyway. Therefore, say the Rambam and the Ramban, from the perspective of shchita, it's an avoda. It's not an avoda. And therefore, you don't require. Therefore, you don't require kisharis. Midin it being an avoda. So why do I require kisharis? What's the value of kisharis? To sanctify the blood. But the Rambam and the Ramban say, okay, so lichatchila, I want to sanctify it. But let's say I didn't. What's the status right now of the blood? Well, you caught it in the kisharis, so it was still kadosh. It was still kadosh, so b'diavet, you were okay. We wanted you to do it to the shita. But end of the day, the blood was still kadosh in a certain sense. The Rishonim that hold that you really require kisharis, even ma'akev, maybe they hold shita's more of an avoda. Maybe they hold it's more of an avoda. But that's at least that middle shita. So I want to just wrap up and summarize a little bit. Shita is done by all animal karbanos. Shita is done. A non-Kohen can do it. Unclear. Shita really is an avoda. Shita is not considered to be an avoda. There are multiple functions to shita. It makes the animal kosher. It allows us to get access to the blood. It is mikadesh or matish the blood. It sanctifies it also. You want to call that like 2A, you certainly can. But that is part of the goal of shita. We spoke a little bit tonight about a major machlokas harishonim. A lot more to talk about. Shita, does it require a kisharis or not require a kisharis? Rabbeinu Ephraim, Tobas quotes, it does not require a kisharis. Tobas quotes another day that it does require a kisharis. The Rabbi and Rabban say, it does the chaskila, not for the abed. This machlokas may get to the core and be important, not only for why you need a kisharis sometimes, you do a voda, it's a chasha thing, or to be mocked or something, but also the nature of shkita itself. How much is it really an avoda, or is it not an avoda? How much is it like shkita of Thulin, or not like shkita of Thulin? And perhaps, as the way that the Ramban and the Rambam may learn it, many of them explain this way, this really, shkita is not really an avoda, but it still does require you to be machdish it. But if you didn't, b'di'eved, you caught it, the Kabbalah, you would still have dam, which is considered to be holy. Have a wonderful rest of your night.